I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program that continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.
Thank you. Father, so that you may be glorified and that you may be magnified, dear Father, in us, dear Father. We pray that you will even do a new thing in us, dear Lord. We pray that you will raise the bar in our faith level, dear Father. We pray that you will help us to believe you for everything good, dear Lord. We pray that you will help us to understand that you are in the midst of every one of our situations, no matter how good or bad it may feel, dear Father. Remind us that you were with Daniel, dear Father, when he was in the lion's den. And you was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hallelujah, dear Father, when they were in the fire and furnace, dear Father. Yeah. So if you could do it for them, you can do it for us, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that you will touch our pastor the first lady, dear Father. Keep them, comfort them, cover them with your precious blood, hallelujah, dear Lord. And we will be so careful, God, to give you all glory, honor, and praise, dear Lord. We know you can do it. And I know that you will do it, dear Father, because your word is true. Your promises are yes and amen, God. We just thank you. We praise you, God, because I'm believing you for a Holy Ghost-filled service today, dear Father. Won't you, dear Father, be in the midst, dear Father. Help us, dear Father, to let go and let you take control. It is in Jesus' precious and holy and righteous name we do pray. Amen.
Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, God's been good to you. I didn't say praise me. I didn't say praise your neighbor. I said praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
He's been mighty good. Hallelujah. This song right here says everything. Take it up. Thank you. everything to me, yeah.
Everything.
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 Oh, everything to me, yeah.
Everything to me.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
You're everything to me, yeah.
Everything. I dare you to open up your mouth and give God some praise. He's been everything. He's been everything to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we came to have some church on this morning. God's been good. How many know that? How many know that all you need to do is go in the prayer room? Sometimes when things get tough, you just need to go into the prayer room. Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, let's have some church. Come on in the room.
Just keep on praying.
Just keep on praying.
Just keep on praying.
Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank him this morning for the night of rest that he gave you. Then woke you up again this morning with stepping in your feet. You ought to give him praise because he's worthy to be praised. It was he who died on the cross for you. Never forget that. That's why we're here. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Come on, give him another hand clap. Bless him. Because if it had not been for him, your table would have no food on it. The doctor would not have been able to help you in the hospital. But because of Jesus, hallelujah, you still have your wife. You still have your husband. You ought to thank him. You ought to give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under the sun like Jesus. Hallelujah. He made the water. He made the trees. He made the sea. He made you and me. You ought to bless him. You ought to give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Following me, there will be scripture by Reverend Williams, and following that will be prayer by Minister Arnold. Amen.
Good morning, St. Matthews. Have Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts 16, starting at the 13th verse. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Tyre, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The word of God for the children of God.
Let us pray. Father, we come into this house this morning to praise you, to thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for another week, Lord. Thank you for another time to gather together to worship you in song, to hear your word preached. Father, we thank you for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, paid a debt for us that we should have paid, Father, that we could have eternal life because of what he done for us, Lord. We thank you. Father, we pray for any in this sanctuary this morning that knows not Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sin. Father, may today be the day that they cry out, I yield. What must I do to be saved, Father? Lord, we pray for those who are incarcerated, that they would think about this time, that they'd have opportunity to open a Bible to the book of John and find out who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray for this nation. We need healing, Father. We need revival. We need revival in the worst way, Father. We do thank you. Thank you, Father, for this great country that we're in. Thank you for the freedoms that we have, the freedom to gather together here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. How many know the Lord will make a way somehow? Hallelujah.
broken hearted. I come today. The Lord is our prayer. voyage over troubled water. I don't know about you, but the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not fear. He beckons me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. Come on, let's give him a hand clap of praise. Let's lift him high, for he is God all by himself. It's he that woke you up this morning. It's he that started you on your way. It's he that brought you here to worship him, to glorify him, lift him up, to magnify him. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is the day that he has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. The Lord is our everlasting. He will never grow tired or weary. Come on, let's give him another hand clap of praise. Just because he's Almighty God all by himself. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is the day that he has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. For he is a good God. He is a kind God. He's a loving God. He's an almighty God. He's a God that has never erred. He's a God that wakes you up in the morning. He's a God that clothes you in your right mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is the day we have come to worship you. There's no other God under heaven by which we can be saved, except the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Giving all honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and honor to our graceful senior pastor, let's give the Lord a hand clap for our pastor, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our senior pastor. Come on, let's give him another hand clap. Let us keep our senior pastor in prayer and his family in prayer continuously. And our senior pastor continues to progress on the positive side for his health. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Lord has been good to me. He woke me up this morning, and everyone that didn't get up from last night or return to their earthly home last night, there are many. Some wanted to come to church this morning, but they could not make it. Some got up, but he had to lay them back down. I come to tell you, this is the day that we come to praise Jesus. I don't know if you know how important it is, but it's he that clothed you in your right mind. I don't know if you understand how you got out your bed and came here this morning. But let me tell you, it was Lord Jesus Christ that woke you up this morning. It was Lord Jesus Christ that clothed you in your right mind. It was Lord Jesus Christ that sent you on a mission to come here and clap and praise his holy name. I mean, I don't take that lightly. I mean, some of us take it as a thing we normally do. But had it not been for Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. Had it not been for Jesus Christ, you might have woke up, but you couldn't stand up. Had it not been for Jesus Christ, you might have stood up, but you couldn't see. Had it not been for my Savior, you wouldn't be here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is the day that he has made. That's how important my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, is. I can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. And you can't do nothing. And you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing without the Savior named Jesus. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. Our outreach leader, our MIT minister in training, Deacon Pete Jarvis, said our outreach team visited yesterday 132 homes. Amen. And four souls were saved. Amen. Amen. Let us give a hand clap to the outreach team. Outreach team, please stand. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank God for you. Thank God. God for you. Amen. Each third Sunday, I want to say, of the month, we recognize two church ordinances here at St. Matthew's. They are baptism and communion. We didn't have baptism today, for we had no candidates, but we will have candidates next month. At 9 a.m., we had no candidates for baptism. And immediately following this service, we will have our church ordinance as we receive communion. Amen. Now, do we have any visitors this morning? Any visitors? Just raise your hand or please stand if you like. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord loves it. Love you. Thank you so much for coming. If when we do the invitation to Christ, if you don't have a church home, we ask that you would come out your seat and come on down and join us. We are not perfect, but we are certainly forgiving. Amen? Amen. And now it is offering time. And God loves a cheerful giver. You cannot be God-given no matter how hard you try. This service will be taking up two offerings. Our first offering will be our tithes, as the Lord has blessed you. And our second offering will be Perfect Peace, our radio and TV ministry. Amen? Now, I just want you to remember what a tithe is. A tithe is a tenth. The Lord says, whatever you make during that week, he should get a tenth of it. If you made $1,000 last week, he should get $100 today. If you made $500 last week, then he should get $50 today. If you made $100 last week, then he should get $10 a day down. Don't put some money in the right pocket and some money in the left pocket and then say the Lord gave me what's in the right pocket and is less than the left pocket. Amen. The Lord sees everything. Amen. He sees everything. Let us give as the Lord has blessed us. And remember what Luke said in chapter 6, verse 38. Luke said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen? The Lord is good. Music. Perfect Peace, radio TV ministry, amen?
Somebody say keep on,
keep on,
keep on,
making a way for me.
come. Ushers, deacons, please come. Fellas, please stand. All things. Come on, you can do better than that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your generous giving. Amen. Our senior pastor has set the spiritual table of our topic of teaching today, and it's called A Divine Detour. In the book of Genesis, a 17-year-old boy named Joseph, whose dad's name was Israel, wrestled with God all night long. And Joseph had a gift from God that permitted him to interpret dreams. In fact, he dreamed a couple of dreams one night, and he told it to his family, and they thought he was a big mouth because his dad loved him. But Joseph's brothers hated him because he wore this fly coat of many, many colors. Didn't nobody have one, so they... For that alone, they just didn't like him. He just knew everything. So Joseph's brothers hated him to the point that they plotted to kill this man. And Joseph was 17. His brothers plotted to kill him, but God did some recalculating. They recalculated. And Joseph's direction, instead of killing him, he had his old brother to say, let's just put him in a pit. And a pit was like a well. And as they put him in the well, they said, well, we'll lie to Dad to think he's just missing. So as the Midianites was passing this pit or this well, Joseph and his brothers sold him to the Midianites. And they lied to the dad again, and the Midianites sold him to Egypt to a man named Potiphar. And an officer of Pharaoh. Potiphar was an officer and captain of the guard to Pharaoh. But then Potiphar hired Joseph as a butler. Now, Potiphar's wife thought Joseph was to serve her personally to the point where Joseph had to run out his shirt. Now, again, God's divine detour recalculated, and he recalculated to the point it left Joseph's this erotic menu. So I don't know if we have time to tell you, but the complete story, but God's divine tour started recalculating until Joseph's destiny was in prison. And his destiny in prison was for Pharaoh. And after 12 years of recalculating, Joseph was 30 years old. He started out 17. Now he was 30. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, he said, listen to this. Of all this recalculation, the man went from the pit to the palace, from the palace to the prison, and from the prison back, and through it all, when he starts 17 years old, Pharaoh said, don't miss this, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and without your consent, Joseph, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt unless you tell somebody so. And Joseph was where God wanted him to be after his divine detour took Joseph 12 years to be in place where God wanted him to be. And some of us may not be in place today. And we're going from here to there, from there to there, recalculating. But one day, God's going to place you where you're supposed to be, the divine detour.
It is my distinct pleasure this morning to introduce those who will bring you the Word of God. Speaking of divine detours, I made a commitment to myself that on yesterday, when I went fishing, I was going to catch so much fish that it would leave a hole in the water. My divine detour was to go to the fish store. I only had a $100 ride on the water and caught nothing. This morning, we're going to have some marvelous men who will come and give you a word of God concerning divine detour. First, we will have Reverend Heal, who will come with pomp and circumstance this morning. Then followed by Reverend Walker, who will bring you flat-footed clarity. Followed by Minister Cleve Foates, with the energy of articulation. And then lastly, you'll hear from Reverend Dan Spencer, who will give you a very clear perspective. And after the choir sings, I want you to get up on your feet and greet each one of these ministers, that God will get the glory for their preaching this morning. Amen. Choir.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on and open up your mouth and give God some praise. Before we open up a song, before we hit a note, God is worthy. Rather, we sing or not, God is worthy of the praise. Come on and open up your mouth and give him some praise in here. Oh, come on, somebody. You done made it all week long. Oh, come on, come on. He's worthy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This song right here says, I am. I am that I am. Hallelujah.
I am the Creator. I am the Maker of the universe. I am the one who's spoken to nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am.
Says,
I've a Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible things. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Let me be who I am.
Say, I am Alpha.
Thank the Lord for being I am. Giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To my dear beloved pastor. What a wonderful heart he has. A tiresome job and responsibility. But I'm so thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave Pastor Gordon as a gift to me, to feed me with knowledge and understanding. I will be ever indebted to the Lord for the greatness of the shepherd he has been to me and my wife. Most wise and eternal God, lower me down into your wells, that I may lift up Jesus, him crucified, but most of all, him resurrected with all power in his name. Now, dear Heavenly Father, use me to the magnitude of your desire. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. If you would turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter. verse number 20. While you're turning, this past week, the President of the United States was in Philadelphia, and they pronounced that he comes, and they let you know there are going to be a number of detours around the city because of the route that he takes wherever he's going. Yeah. Prior to that, the Vice President was in town, and same thing happened, but they notified you that they're going to be here, and the routes are changed. You can't go the way you normally go because they have to have that protection. But one thing I found out is that when God gives divine detours, he doesn't notify you ahead of time. But when you move through life, and like the songwriter said, my soul looks back and wonders how I made it over. It's because as we were traveling along our way of life, God put some divine detours in our way to reroute us to the destination that he wants us to go. And I want you to know that that is proof of God's promises. It's proof of God's promises that his promises are yea and amen. And when you look back, see, you don't see them when they happen. But if you live long enough, get to know the Lord as your Savior, and then look back, and there were some circumstances. Can I testify? There was, from the age of 13 to 17, the old folks called me a hellion, because everywhere I went, I raised hell. And there was a situation that happened where a gentleman did something to me, a grown man. I was about 14, and he was relationship with my mother. But he did something to me, and I stole his rifle. He came in one night. I was waiting for him. I walked him back down the steps, telling him, I'm going to kill you when I get you outside. When he got out to the door, he slammed the storm door back on the rifle, jumped off the porch, jumped off a wrought iron fence, went running down the street. I got myself together, got out the door, leveled down the rifle, and it was a good thing I really didn't know how to shoot, because I didn't know you're supposed to, the hand that the weapon is in, that's the eye you use to shoot with. So I took my left eye and crossed over the sight, fired, and as I fired, he turned the corner. Nobody caught me. People were scared to tell on me, but I should have been charged with attempted murder. Are y'all hearing me? At the age of 15, I was another one of my mother's friends, boyfriend, he slapped me. And I told him, I said, don't go to sleep tonight, because I'm going to see you again. I got a partner of mine from Philadelphia. Remember I said I'm 15? He came down to Jersey. We went to Glassboro. I stole a car. Went to Glassboro. His house was a half a block on the same street of the police department in Glassboro. I knocked on his door. When he answered the door, we fired two shots into the door frame above the door. I told him, if you ever put your hands on me again, I'm going to kill you and everybody in the house. I'm trying to tell y'all something. My mother told on me. They got the guns. They sent me to Clarksboro. That's where the juvenile detention center was. John Birch Kelly, I lived next door to his aunt. And after about a weekend there, his aunt said, John, go up there and get Dinky out of Clarksboro. John Birch Kelly came and got me. When I finally went before the judge in Glassboro, he said, young man, how old are you? I said, 15. He said, the next time you come in Glassboro, you better be 21. He said, because if you come into Glassboro again, before then, you'll be in prison until you're 21. You talking about divine detour? I should have been charged with attempted murder again. But because God is faithful, because his promises are yea and amen, because God is able to move you from place to place and give you a divine detour.
Thank you.
Until you get to the place he wants you to be.
Thank you.
It's when you look back and realize God was navigating your way the whole time. And I come to tell you this morning, there's a young man, many people call him the prodigal son. There were two, one stayed home. But this young man asked his father for something and being disrespectful, because in order to get an inheritance, the person you get it from has to be dead. He had an older brother who was in line ahead of him. So therefore, he's skipping the older brother, wanting the father to be dead and give him the portion of inheritance that would fall to him. But listen at what verse 20 says. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I come to tell you today, in this life, you may not see God's divine detour, but keep living, because you've been through some things where you should have been either in the grave or somewhere else other than right here. But when you look back over your life at some of the decisions you made, things that people were doing, God put a divine detour in your way to cause you to take a different route. I want you to know that this young man went a different way. And when he got to a point, all his funds were gone. All his friends were gone. And his fortitude was gone. His ability to strengthen, or the mind that enables you to encounter dangers or bear pain or adversary with courage. I come to tell you today, when God puts a divine detour in your life, you can learn some things. Well, I'm reminded that Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
That's right.
When God puts a divine detour in your way, it gives you time to renew your strength. And the strength that you're getting, he's the one that's renewing it. When God gives you a divine detour, I found out the Bible says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. When you're coming into a divine detour, God puts you in a different perspective so you can see things from a different position. But then finally, I want to say, they shall run and not be weary. You can run and be recharged. And listen, you can walk and not faint. I want you to see one thing. There's the response of the father. He saw him afar off. There's the release of the father. He put his feet and legs in gear, ran to meet him. But then there's the embrace of the father. All that he went through, the divine detours, brought him right back to where he started.
Yeah.
Come on, let's give him some praise. Is he worthy? When you look at every detour in your life, everything that happened in your life, God got you just to this moment that you can give him the praise. The praise! The praise! The praise!
Give me honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to my pastor for this opportunity to share a word. If giving me the honor to deal with divine detours. And as I look at this scripture, it reminds me, Apostle Paul said, the thing that happened to me, it happened to the furtherance of the gospel. Every pain, every problem, every bad moment, everything that came in my life, it had to the furtherance of the gospel. Every detour, the furtherance of the gospel. From place to place. From pain to pain. The gospel. But Paul talked about the gospel. But Mary, she gave birth to the gospel. She gave birth to the gospel. Because God used her life. Used her life. Every pain she went through, God used it to get her to her destiny. God allowed every detour in her life to get her to her destiny. God. But my question to you this morning is, what is a detour? A detour is anything that come in your life that cause you to change direction. It could be a closed street. It could be a bridge opening. It could be an accident. Anything that will cause you to change your direction. You could be in a hurry too. You say, oh my God, now I got to turn around. A detour. But what is a divine detour? A divine detour has purpose. A divine detour is this. It's when God and his providential prerogative choose to interrupt your life, your plans, your pain, your plans, your purpose, and integrate his will, integrate and trigger a calling, a faith, and a redemption. That's a divine detour. When God just stopped everything for his purpose, his will. So, question is this. Why detours? Detours are necessary for three things. For sin, strategy, and sovereignty. Sin, whenever you're in sin, God will move you from one place to another to get you to see yourself. Second, God is a strategist. Because he's a strategist. He know how to move you from here to there to there. I'm sorry. I don't believe God calculate. Not an all-knowing, all-wise God. He don't got to calculate. He already know. He already decreed. He already called it. So it's already locked and decreed in his sovereign will. But then second, when God does everything in your life and move you from degree to degree to detour to detour, God got the power to get you out of everything he put you in. Because he's sovereign. But not only that, then you ask this question, who ever been in detours? Who been in detours? Well, look at the life of Joseph. He went from the pit to the palace by the way of prison. Look at Moses. Moses was a Hebrew. Then he led to a river. Then an Egyptian found him. Now he in Pharaoh's house. Then he checked out into the desert. Then from the desert, he saw a burning bush. Oh my God, detour to detour to detour. God put us in detours. So now think about this. Why? There's 5 points I want to deal with this morning. First one, that God will interject his will in your life by dreams, by visions, or even by a conviction. Look at Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, you see in verse 28 through 30, you see that, guess what? Mary about her own business, doing her own thing, about to get married, and all of a sudden an angel came to Mary and said, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, you're blessed and highly favored. Then she said in verse 30, it said, guess what? God has called you to be the mother. He just came in here. And his and her will. God will come in your will whenever he's ready.
But the second point is this. You must have a readiness to make positive adjustments. The minute God comes, you must have a readiness to make positive adjustments. What do you mean? Well, Mary said in verse 38 of chapter 1 in Luke, she says, your handmaiden, your servant, hear you. Be it unto me as you will. She made a positive adjustment to get in line with the will of God. What will you do when God called you? What are you doing now while God is using you? But not only that, the positive adjustment is this. When God, third point is this. When God interjects his will in your life, it doesn't mean it will always be peaceful. Sometimes the will of God is conflict. Sometimes you might be right smack in the will of God when you, guess what, got the will of God. But all around you is nothing but hell. Hell in your home, hell in your marriage, hell in your job. Why? Sometimes the will of God got conflict. The minute Mary got pregnant, Joseph, because they were going through the prenatal period, they was engaged. She came home, her stomach way out there. He said, what is this? And she gonna say, I'm pregnant, and the child is God. Ain't no person gonna believe no mess like that. But it would happen conflict in her relationship. Then only from that, then the community. They wanted the loss to, guess what? Stone her. Now they want to stone her. But now they stone her. Then you find out that Herod called a decree that they must pay taxes. Now being pregnant, she had to get on a donkey and ride to Jerusalem. Oh my God, more conflict. You can see a woman pregnant and trying to balance on a donkey. But not only that, did she get to Jerusalem? Then another conflict. Oh, please, can we get a room? No room. Oh my God. So they end up in a manger. A stinking manger with cows mooing. Oh my God. Nothing but conflict. You got to learn to deal with the conflict. Then he moved on to my point four. Is this. All bad things don't mean that bad is not necessary. Look, some of the bad is necessary. Why? If you didn't get the bad, you can never get to church. If you didn't get the bad, you'll never get here. I remember in Charleston, South Carolina, I was selling so much drugs, my wife couldn't take it no more. You know what I mean? She said, I'm leaving you. I said, why are you leaving me? She said, the Lord said, this house is full of demonic activities. My wife left me. I thought she was going a mile or two away. No, she came to Jersey. Oh my God, to Jersey. I'm in Charleston. That's a 13-hour drive. But when you love a woman, you will chase that woman. That's why I'm here on the pulpit. That's why I'm here right now. God, take me from place to place, from thing to thing. Now I'm here giving him glory. You know why? Because he's a great God, a great King, who has the power to move you, the power to change you, the power to do whatever it takes to get you right. My gang life is over. I got God gang life. I'm saying in my right mind, doing what God want me to do, because he's a great God and a great King. But I gotta go. I gotta go. But my last point is this. That guess what? They move and she's in the manger. And all the animals around her and she's tired. The fifth point is this. In the midst of your discomfort, God can send you comfort. What do you mean? Check this out. In the midst of her discomfort, in the manger, I mean, all messed up, or in the home, wherever it is, she got all the psychological stuff going on in her mind. Psychologically, she's going from place to place. How God going to work it out? How this going to happen? How I'm going to make my ends meet from psychological place, from one place to another. In your mind, you're trying to figure it out. But not only that, why are you trying to figure it out? All your emotions going from place to place to place. Because emotionally, you up and down, up and down. Why? Because we humans, we're trying to figure it out. We can't figure it all out. We got to leave it to God. So as she right there at home trying to figure it out, what God did, send some shepherds. Then send the wise man. And the wise man came and give her gifts. Give her a gift. You know why? To comfort her. God got a lamb in the bush. I don't know about you, but every time I look at all the things of God, I see the grace of God. The grace of God to keep us. The grace of God to sustain us. The grace of God to hold us. The grace of God to keep us going. It's amazing grace. How sweet the song to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Detours from detours is God history.
You know, they always, you know, I always say Roy a fool. I didn't mean him to get up here and act a fool. Praise Jesus. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I greet you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to all the ministers and pulpit. I want to thank the Lord Jesus for this opportunity. He's worthy to be praised. I want to talk about our senior pastor, Dr. Gordon. You know, it is not an easy thing to be away from your calling this long. Let me tell you, he still has a heart and he's still involved. I said before, he is not absent in his absence. He has actually, right, on his divine detour, has actually set the table for you every Sunday. He's making sure that the lights are on, that everything is still. If the truth be told, other than his presence, everything else is running like it's just fine. So we ought to thank the Lord for having a faithful man of God. A faithful man of God that loves the Lord. Yeah. Just had to talk about our pastor for a minute. And he deserves that. Let's go before the Lord. Lord God, thank you for this day. Lord, we pray that as we go through these divine detours, Lord God, that your glory is made known and that those that don't know you will know you, Lord Jesus, and that those that do know you get to know you better. Amen. I also want to acknowledge my wife of almost 30 years. We dated. Let's see. It was actually 30 years that we started dating, and that was in March 15th. Don't talk too much, man. I'm just letting you know. Listen, I've been at this thing for, actually, that was 34 years because we got 4.5 years later. Anyway, it's been a minute. I ain't worried about y'all. Listen, I married all this time. Come on, y'all. Right, come on, cut it out. Let's go. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. And it's just something I want to look at in Mark chapter 5 about these divine detours. Now, when we're talking about divine detours, Pastor wants us to know that these are proofs that God will move us from place to place until we're in his place. In fact, he also says that God saves the best for last. We learned that last week. This week, God is using divine detours to prove that his promises are yea and amen. I'm not so sure that there's anything I can say that hasn't been said already. But I will say this. When you hear about God moving us from place to place until we're in place. When you hear about Jesus saving the very best for last, like we was at the wedding Cana. When you hear about today how God moves us with these divine detours. These ought to be triggers in our mind. It ought to trigger something. It should be triggers on our mind about God's faithfulness. It ought to be triggers in our mind about God's sovereignty. It ought to be triggers in the mind about God's providence. They're triggers for desperate times and triggers for times of affliction, triggers for weeping's time, triggers for enduring times. Keep us moving in God's detour, because we know that many are the affliction of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Yeah. Divine detours. We know all things are working together for good of them who love the Lord. You got to love the Lord who are the called. Come on now. According to his purpose. We need to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? We're just trying to set it up. Because God, who begun a good work in us, is going to keep on doing it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day that I see him face to face. Until the day that I've either died and gone to heaven, or the day that I meet him in the air. One day, God will make me whole. But until then, God is going to put in divine devices, the detours, to reroute you, to recalculate your destination, to make you move out of place to your in place, so he can get glory in that space. Divine detours. Listen. I'm going to give my testimony later. Let's look at chapter 5 of Mark, and we're going to look at verse 31, and it says, when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude was gathered to him, and he was by the sea, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus was his name, and when he saw him, Jairus saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. First thing, when we're in a divine detour, when we're being recalculated, what we need to do is fall at his feet. I think some of the problems that we experience, some of the things we go through, some of the things we're hung up with, some of the things we're caught out there with, is because we don't know how to lay at his feet. Listen, can't you see those beautiful feet of his? Those feet that walked from Jerusalem, that walked all over the place, that walked in my life, walked in your life, touched my life, touched your life, healed our minds, healed our hurts, made us whole again. Can't you see those feet? Those feet that are on the throne with a rainbow around his shoulder, with angels flying in saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Can't you see those feet? Those same feet that was pierced. The same hands that were pierced. Those are the same hands of the God that we serve. This is the God that he called on. He says, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands, those holy hands. Lay those hands on my daughter. Can you imagine the desperation of a father? Can you imagine what he would and wouldn't do for his daughter? He had run out of everything he could do. He was a high ruler in the synagogue. He had position. He had power. But none of that meant nothing. See, there's going to come a time in my life and in your life when we come face to face with death. And all our Lexuses won't matter. All our Teslas won't matter. My mansion won't matter. Your Louboutin won't matter. Your Louis Vuitton won't matter. Any other time, it's not going to matter. Question is, are you going to be ready to see him face to face? And so what God will do is he will place divine detours. And here we have him calling on God himself. Now, it's one thing when God is putting divine detours to move us into his place of peace. It's another thing when God himself becomes the detour. Y'all not with me? Here it is. Jesus is on the way to go heal Jairus' daughter and then a certain woman who has blood, an issue of blood, for 12 years shows up. And that's a detour. She actually has gotten God to make a detour. Now Jairus is impatient. Lord, I know what you're about to do, but my daughter is dying. There are times and situations where things are dying. And we got to call on the Lord. And it seems like the Lord is just not coming. It seems like he's holding back and holding off. Like Lazarus, when he went the other way when Lazarus died. And it just seems like God is not. You need to hold on because you're in the midst of a divine detour. And when you're in the midst of a divine detour, Jesus begins to show up. And Jesus begins to show out. He begins to take his holy hands, those blood-stained hands, and he touches your life. He begins to take those feet with the blood and walks all in and out your life. What you want to do is have a divine detour when God is the detour. My time is, listen. Jairus was a ruler. The woman was the woman who had the issue of blood. That means she was ceremonially unclean. Everywhere she went, blood was dripping out. Can't you imagine it? Coming home every day, she's got to clean up her bed. She's got to clean up her carpet. Everywhere she's walking, there's a trail behind her. People see it. They don't want to touch her because she's unclean. And what does she do? She goes to Jesus. And she touches his hem. And when she touches the hem of a master, what was impure now becomes pure. What was unclean now becomes clean. Don't you know that all we need is a touch from the master? Divine detour. I'm going to bring it in. Jairus' daughter was 12. The woman had the issue for 12 years. The Jairus said, come to my daughter. Jesus, when he confronted the woman, and the woman was scared because she thought she would make Jesus unclean, he says, who touched me? And she said, here I am, Lord, I did it. And he calls her daughter. Jairus had a daughter. Jesus made her his daughter. Listen. She was as if she was dead because she could not have any reaction. And Jairus' daughter was actually dead. She had faith. Jairus had lost his faith because when the crowd came out, they said to him, your daughter is dead. Jesus said to him, no. Don't worry. Just go ahead and believe. And then Jesus went in and raised up that dead situation. He raised up what was lost, but is now found. And every now and then, we need to bring our dead situations to Jesus and watch him make it alive. I'm going to go and take my seat. I got to give a testimony. All right. I came in here today ready to preach about Joseph. I was going to preach all about his brothers. Preach all about how God redirected him and recalculating him and doing all those things. But then Reverend Jackson was used by God to recalculate me. So on April 21st, 2024, I was redirected and recalculated to this scripture so that you would know that we don't just serve a God, we serve a living God, a loving God, a delivering God, a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will redirect you into his life when God is your detour.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for these powerful preachers, Lord, that have given the word We thank you, Lord, for the recalculation. We thank you for the divine detours, Lord, that you have placed in our life because you love us. Lord, help us to listen and help us to follow that recalculation and that detour. Amen. Oh, man. That ain't even fair. It ain't even right. But I'm going to bring it. I praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is continuing to work out this, my sanctification and my salvation in my life as we speak. And to these fine, fiery preachers, when they told me I had to preach behind them, I was like, what in the world? But that's all right. God is good. And he brings us to a place where we need to be when we need to be there. Amen. Amen. And to Pastor Gordon, who has mentored us, I know me, at least 15, 20 years that he has mentored us for such a time like this. Amen? Let's give him a hand. He has poured into us, and we get to preach here and there and whatnot, but then all of a sudden it's like, you're up. So sometimes that's why we got to be faithful. God is faithful. And we got to be on our P's and Q's. And you don't have to be necessarily a preacher, because we are all, our life is all before everyone. And they see the God who we serve. And we got to be ready. Amen. And thank you, Pastor, for getting us ready. We didn't know when it was coming, but it came all of a sudden. And we should keep him and Sister Gordon in prayer as he does what he does. Because you know he'd want to be right here, right now. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to Romans 8:28, a very familiar scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This morning, I'm just going to briefly preach on pay attention to the signs. Right. Pay attention to the signs. God places divine detours in our lives of a believer in order to direct us to his place of purpose to help others, but it may include pain and his promises. Yea and amen. And as Reverend Arnold or Minister Arnold brought out, yea means true and amen means sealed. Our ultimate destination is to be conformed to his image in character and conduct. Our divine detour is guided by the sovereignty of God. In other words, he has everything in control. And it's not that he has to do a recalculation, because he knows what he's going to do. It's us that has to do the recalculation. And we're moved around from place to place. And as Romans 8:28 says, I'm going to focus on two things. All things work together and conform to the image of his son. So no matter what we go through, that's the ultimate goal. Is to be conformed to his image. And to be moved where he wants us to be. God's GPS, or his positioning system, recalculates our path through divine detours. As a former law enforcement officer, one of my jobs was to pull over people. And I pulled over pastor, not because he did anything wrong, but because I was just messing with him. But my job was to pull over people, and, you know, they may have been ignoring the signs, or either just not paying attention to the signs. And I looked at some of the biblical characters they talked about, and I had to do a recalculation, because I had originally thought that he was going to preach on Joseph, but he didn't preach on Joseph. He preached on Joseph. So my mind is thinking, okay, all right, what am I going to do now? But that's all right, because he moves us in the direction we need to be. I believe that God can send us on a divine detour because of three things. Number one, a distraction of sin and selfishness. Number two, a designated selection by God. And number three, a designed delay and programmed suffering. The prodigal son, he had a distraction of sin and self. He had no friends, no funds, no fortitude. But I believe that if it was a motor vehicle violation, it would have been he ran a stoplight. You ever run a stoplight? You get a sense of immediate panic when you run a stoplight because you just don't know if there's going to be a collision or whatever it may be. But he ran a stoplight. He was impatient. He was disrespectful. He was rebellious and couldn't wait. He wanted his inheritance, and he had a collision with his father's wants and his father's rules. That led to a divine detour. He couldn't wait. He had to have it now. God changes our position and perspective when we're in that divine detour. Question. How many of us had a divine detour because we were impatient and we couldn't wait, and that led us to the proverbial pig pen? Okay, you don't have to go like this. You can go like this. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and don't want to go back. Amen. The prodigal son had a distraction of sin and self. Number two, Mary and Joseph. They were a designated selection by God. They were chosen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was special, but they exemplify what it means to yield. So when we think of a yield sign means that you slow down or stop and give the right of way to whoever may be coming across you. Mary pondered and Joseph thought deeply, but they gave the right of way to the Lord. They didn't just go ahead. It says that Joseph was, he was a man of God, and he pondered and he said, you know what, let me just put her away privately, because it was almost like being married. But when the angel of the Lord came to him and spoke to him, both him and Mary, at separate times, they listened. And they gave God the right of way. And they said, you know what? Maybe there is something to this. Now think about this. Mary was a teenager. She wasn't like a grown woman, mature and kind of lived. No, she was a young person. So young people, sometimes God will have us, you have to yield. You got to slow down. Sometimes adults kind of know what they're doing. Mom and dad kind of know what they're talking about. You know, at 17, Dad was the dumbest man around. But at 21, him and Mom turned to be the smartest around. And that's because we've got a little lived experience. But we listened. So Mary and Joseph had a divine detour because they were obedient. So just like Reverend Walker was saying, you can experience all those things and think that, oh, am I in a place of God? But guess what? You can be. So my question to you, do you yield or pause and give God the right of way in your life when the situation is not logical or it may even be embarrassing? I can't imagine what they went through. Oh, yeah, you hear about Mary and Joseph? Yeah, they... But then God had the glory. The prodigal son had a distraction of sin and self. Mary and Joseph had a designated selection, were a designated selection by God. But then Joseph, he had a designed delay in programmed suffering. If I had to liken Joseph's divine detour to a traffic situation, I would say they had a combination of being pulled over for no reason, accused of doing wrong, locked up for something he didn't do, and he was betrayed by people in the system. Nobody paid it, but he paid attention to the yield sign because he yielded to God. And because of his faithfulness, his detour took him from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison to the palace, and it put him in charge. There was one phrase, if you look at it in the book of Genesis, that kind of defines the whole thing. And he said this in Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. So whenever you're going through situations, you're going through stuff that don't make sense, that's embarrassing, that whatever it may be, the Lord is with you. As a result, Joseph developed what I call 50-20 vision. Genesis chapter 50, 20. And it says this, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of the Lord of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph was faithful and very patient under pressure. How are you under pressure? When God's trying to develop you, when he's trying to bring things into your life, when he's trying to make you stronger through the things that he's taking you through, are you trying to escape that pressure? Do you try to get out of it? Do you, you know, or do you withstand it? The prodigal son had sinned himself. Mary and Joseph was a designated selection by God. And Joseph had a designed program of suffering. And all of them reacted in different ways. As I close, in construction zones and detours, there are cones. Physical cones are directional devices. God has some spiritual cones and signs. We need to keep inside of our life when we hit those divine detours to put us in his place. One is love and the other is truth. We got truth and we have love. And when it talks about love, it says, thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early and shall find me. Proverbs 8:17. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. If you love me, keep my commandments. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, love, but the greatest of these is love. And then there's truth. We got to stay with truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall... But between the detours of cones and love is the speed limit signs, which are the promises of God and the proof of putting us in his place for his purpose. When you see the following speed limit signs, pay attention. As I give you the speed limit, I need you to say, pay attention. If your speed limit is 35, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, and always acknowledge him and I will direct your path. If your speed limit is 37, Psalm 37, I've been young and now I've been old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If your speed limit is 46, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. If your speed limit is 41, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. I can do all things which Christ who strengthens me. If your speed limit is 51, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If your speed limit is 54, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. If your speed limit is 58, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Have heard the pomp and circumstance of Reverend Hill. You have heard the flat-footed clarity of Reverend Walker. You have heard the energy and articulation of Minister Foltz. And now you have heard the clear perspective of Reverend Spencer. And so all of that leads to a decision. Decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It should not take a long time for you to make up your mind. You know whether or not you are saved.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's time for you to make up your mind. If you see the right lights flashing saying bridge is out, don't try to see how far you can go. Make the turn.
All right.
I'm asking you now, if you're not saved, come and make the turn. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou would confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For with the mouth, salvation is made of the mouth and the heart. Are you lost today? Be saved. Come, we don't have a lot of time. We're going to wait you out. Make you keep saying words till you finally get up. If you're saved, make the decision now. A, B, C. Admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus is Lord and confess the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Amen. Is there one? If there's no one who's not saved, if there's someone who is saved, don't have a church home. Now is the time to find a place to live with Jesus Christ, to serve Jesus Christ. Is there one? Amen. We will come on down here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for another soldier. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Follow this gentleman. Another that don't have a church on. Don't make me come down these aisles and point you out. Now we're going to transition into our communion service with Reverend Jackson.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Did they preach? Did they preach? I'm telling you, they did some. They distributed some word today. That's all I can say. If you did not feel Jesus Christ in your heart, you went to sleep. Now let us transition and focus our hearts and minds on the Last Supper of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is communion. Now before we reach for the communion elements, we need to pray. Then understand not to take this moment lightly, but recognize how precious and holy this moment is. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Eternal God, we come in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who receive it. We pray that we may eat in remembrance of the body of your Son and witness to you. Father, we pray that this congregation are willing to take upon them the name of your Son and always remember him, and keep the commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his spirit to be with them. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now please find the basket of elements at the end of your pews. Take one. Deacons are in the aisles to assist you. And they are faithful deacons. They do an excellent job at setting up the elements, getting this day prepared for you. And once you receive that element and you open it and remove the wafer and have the juice exposed, just look up. If you need help, please raise your hand. And once you've completed that, please look up. If you're not done, raise your hand. And we have these fine deacons that will assist you. Now, and the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And they all ate." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, do in remembrance of me." And they all drank. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And there's a hymn that says, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory." Let's give the Lord Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise. Let us look to the Lord with a word of prayer, then we will have benediction. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to your table and partaking in the body and blood of your Son. May we always take to heart the importance of this sacrament and live our lives in a way that reflects your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Let all of God's children say amen. Amen. Now, I just want to say this before the benediction. I want you all to come down and welcome these ministers and thank these ministers for the word that they have delivered this day. Let's give the ministers a hand clap. Amen. And let's give our pastor a hand clap for setting this point forward. Amen. Now let's have benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let all of God's children say amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
The blessing that will be when we all see Jesus, we will see.
I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the Word, his leadership, and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.